Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello and blessings to all. Welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. Our guest tonight is Dr. Claude Swanson, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. So, Bob, anything special you want to share today?
Well, I'll tell our listeners, but Fran and I have been watching every night for the past 10 nights. I think tonight is the last night.
Tonight is the 11th episode.
It's an 11-hour documentary. It broke up into 11 one-hour segments about cancer, about natural cures, you know, for cancer and the workings of the human body. And
well, I think the title of this docuseries was The Truth About Cancer.
Right.
And that was more of what they were focusing on rather than so much of the focus of the cure, but versus why we all got caught up in the traditional protocol of handling cancer, which is not necessarily the best route.
Yeah, well, you know, what I've learned is that the different way of thinking about it, you know, it's cancer is really something that's natural to the body. We all have cancer cells, and we keep producing them, but when you have a finely tuned immune system, it just, flushes it out. When you have a poor immune system, which could be caused by so many different factors, as we've learned, you know, the environmental, the food that we eat, the pesticides, you know, we're just being bombarded. That's when you leave the door open. But there are certain parallels that I found in watching the documentary to even the work that we do. I mean, for instance, we've probably seen about maybe 15 or 20 medical doctors interviewed, and they all advocate, you know, alternative methods, you know, of treating cancer, thinking that, you know, cancer is run like a business and it's not necessarily in the best interest of the patient. And these doctors are persecuted, you know, by all sorts of folks, you know, their colleagues in the medical profession. The agencies that regulate these things, you know, the FDA and everything else. And isn't that like the scientists that study paranormal phenomena, you know?
Exactly the same thing. When the powers that be don't want you to have the truth, they are in control of the media. They are in control of the information that's out there, and they will tell you what they want you to believe. And the problem with our society is if we see it on TV, we believe it. We buy it.
Right. And, you know, especially people in the medical profession, a lot of people look up to them. And when they don't question what they're told, you know, I mean, the most telling thing I think that I've seen so far is they, you know, did a survey among oncologists in the United States. And they asked them, if they were diagnosed with cancer, you know, or if one of their family members was diagnosed with cancer, would they prescribe, you know, the same regimens of chemotherapy that they do? And 86% of them said no. they would not administer it themselves or their loved ones, you know, the chemotherapy that they're giving to others. They give it to others because that's what the protocol is, you know. But
and that's what they were taught,
right,
the protocol,
right,
is. And that, and therein is where the problem lies, and it's the same problem for us, too. If you have years and years and years of being taught something to the same people. So here, the way it was explained was that in the early part of the 20th century, the big pharmaceutical companies were growing and they were developing, and they came up with this scheme to teach doctors this pharmaceutical protocol for everything. For every single symptom, you would take some sort of a drug, an aspirin for a headache or whatever it is, to alleviate the symptom, as opposed to their predecessors in the medical field who said, if you have these symptoms, let's look for the underlying cause and eliminate the cause.
Right.
So over the years, we've grown into a medical profession that believes that, you know, there's no fault of the doctors. This is what they're taught in medical school here in the United States, is find the symptom, get rid of it.
And but I also thought there was another parallel that was striking in that, you know, these doctors would, these alternative MDs would call, they'd walk through nature. There was one scene where they're walking in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
And they called it, you know, it's nature's pharmacy, because there are so many extremely powerful and effective medicines in plants that the ancients knew about, and no research money is going into it now. And it's sort of...
But there's a reason for that. You can't patent something. That's
right.
The law right now. They may change that to their own benefit, but right now you can't patent something that occurs naturally in nature.
Right, but what's amazing to me is, so here we have this finely attuned and synchronous universe where we are provided with everything that we need from a medical standpoint to cure ourselves. Of course, it's our job to come to recognize it like we once did. And I can't help but thinking in our world, in the world of after-death communication and communicating with the dead, we're also equipped with these tools and with the abilities to catch glimpses of other realms. It's just that we don't recognize it, you know, and our ancestors once did. So, I mean, do you see the parallel between
even the ancestors that
communicated,
took advantage through communication of what was given to us on in the world in order for us to function on every level.
Right, and also they commune regularly with people, with the deceased, with their ancestors. They communicated telepathically amongst themselves, you know, in certain tribes. So,
don't you believe that that's how the Native American medicine men worked? They were told from their guides, their people on the other side, you know, you have a sick person here. This is the plant. This is where you go. This is what you get. This is how you administer it.
Yeah, the shaman.
And they were medicine men. They didn't have to go to Harvard Medical School. They knew exactly what to do.
That's right. Non-pharmaceutical, you know, natural, you know, medicines.
And they were
combined with the knowledge that we're more than a physical body. You know, in that combination, that's why they were so effective, and they remain so, you know, today.
And it's so empowering. And we should go back. We should go back to that. I think we are. We're on that track.
Right, well, our guest, as you mentioned, tonight is Dr. Claude Swanson, and he's going to be with us. So we're going to go to a break. We come back, we're going to hear more about the unseen world from our guest, Claude Swanson. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness, and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a WindBridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Claude Swanson. Our sponsor is the WindBridge Institute for Applied Research and Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at www.windbridge.org. Bob?
And it's a pleasure to welcome our friend Dr. Claude Swanson. He deserves a proper introduction, so I'll tell you that Dr. Swanson was educated as a physicist at MIT and Princeton. At Princeton, he received the National Science Foundation Fellowship and Putnam Fellowship. He conducted postgraduate work at Princeton and Cornell Universities on the design of superconducting plasma containment vessels for fusion energy systems. He eventually founded his own consulting firm, which carried out studies in applied physics for commercial and governmental agencies, including DuPont and United Technologies and the Army and the Navy and the CIA, et cetera. For the past 20 years, he's mixed in, along with his conventional professional career in applied physics, his pursuit of investigations into unconventional physics. His principal interest has been unified field theory, the so-called theory of everything, and the synchronized universe model, which could explain the universe at the deepest possible level. It's led Claude to investigate many aspects of the paranormal, which appear to offer a window into the deeper universe, the mysteries of consciousness, and unlock new forces and principles, which conventional science has only begun to glimpse. Dr. Swanson's conducted extensive research in these areas, including research of the scientific literature, interviews with scientists in the field. He's attended and spoken at many conferences. He's conducted his own experiments and investigations. And this is all to better understand how the paranormal phenomena can be incorporated into modern science. He's the author of The Synchronized Universe, a little book of about 700 or 800 pages, which summarizes some of the new discoveries of the emerging science. And the second part of that series, his latest book, is called Life Force, The Scientific Basis. I would be remiss if I don't add that Claude is a past president of Forever Family Foundation. He's currently the chairman of the board, and he still sits on the scientific advisory board. And the website is synchronizeduniverse.com. Now, welcome, Claude.
Well, thank you, Bob. And for any people who were educated in the British system, we spell synchronized here in America with a Z, while the ones in Europe are favored with the S, but we're synchronized with a Z.
That's a good point. Maybe I should even spell synchronized.
I think you should.
Which is S-Y-N.
Well, it's even easier because if you push my name, Claude Swanson, into Google, it'll pop up with the website first or second, so it's easier that way.
So let's go, back in your MIT days, I mean, you were steeped in conventional physics, were most likely part of the community that might sneer at the type of research that you're doing now. So was there anything in particular that opened your mind to so-called paranormal concepts?
Well, I was a skeptic back then, and I can understand skeptics today because I know how I used to be one. I remember when I was a freshman at MIT, I'd come from a small town in the Bible Belt in Southern Virginia, and I had figured out that I didn't really believe in what I was being taught in Sunday school, that I didn't really agree with what I was seeing in the science world. So I'd become a skeptic even back then, but I couldn't talk about it in a small town. But I got to MIT, and we had a seminar with the provost of MIT, who was a Nobel Prize winner named Charles Townes. He invented a little thing called the laser, and had about 12 of us lucky freshmen talking to him in a room for a couple hours. And I asked him my big burning question. I knew he was a devout religious person, a Lutheran. And I said, how can you be a Lutheran and also be a scientist? Because to be a Lutheran, you have to believe in miracles. The Bible, after all, has miracles, and that's the evidence for religion. While as a scientist, you have to believe in the laws of physics. How can you possibly resolve those two contradictions? And he looked at me and he said, the uncertainty principle. And for a scientist, that actually is a good answer, because the uncertainty principle says there's always some small probability of anything happening, even a miracle. That was a pretty good answer in those days. I think what really turned me around was years later when I began learning about remote viewing. Years after I finished my PhD, and I found out the military was doing research in remote viewing, and I learned that the mind has these amazing abilities to reach out into space and time, our out-of-body state, if you want to call it that, and access information, very detailed information, anywhere in the universe just about. And that totally blew my mind because it goes against our present standard physics, but it opened me up to the idea there's a whole lot more out there that our present science doesn't understand. And that is how I started my search, and it led me into all the work with the afterlife and the soul and near-death experiences and things like that, all of which are very real phenomena. And the more you dig into them, you find out that they're very real, but our present science doesn't understand them yet and really hasn't put the work into the research, into explaining them yet. Now, that's what I've been doing, is trying to fill in those gaps. But it's a very exciting field for me, because the more you study the afterlife, the more you study the soul, the more you study the out-of-body experiences and other ways of knowing, you realize this is actually part of our science as well, that the soul and these spiritual elements are part of a science, and our present science hasn't started yet to address it, but it's going to be really exciting as we do get into it more and more. And I find that this is the frontier for me.
Yeah. Well, I'm having this piped into all your colleagues at MIT, so I hope they're listening. So, so
I do it with my kids too. My kids are also. I mean, skeptics are everywhere. It's part of our culture. You know, the mainstream culture teaches people. So, it's important to talk to people.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that you have done extensive work in, what's termed, subtle energy. So, give us a little description. How would you define subtle energy? I mean, what is it?
Well, subtle energy is one of those clues that our present scientific picture is missing something really important. If you take a course in Reiki, for example, which is a form of energy healing, in a half an hour or an hour, you learn how to make your hands warm, or the person whose energy you're sending to them, they start to feel a warmth, pains may go away, things like that. It's a very simple version of energy healing. There are much more elaborate versions of it. Some of the great experts, like the yogi masters in India or in China, they call them Qigong masters, they're based on Chinese medicine, use this energy. The Chinese call it Qi, but it's the same stuff. It is subtle energy. And when some of these people who are very adept, very advanced, very highly trained, can use this energy in amazing ways. There was a study done of one of the top Qigong masters by the government of China back in the 80s. His name was Dr. Yan Xin, X-I-N. And they put him in a physics lab with a bunch of physicists, and he could basically change the radioactive decay rate of an element in the experiment. He could make it go higher or lower. He could bend laser beams. He could cause the properties of water, like the surface tension, the viscosity, to change dramatically. All kinds of physical properties that these scientists could sit there in the laboratory and measure, he could change them with this subtle energy. So it was really a way of saying that this subtle energy can affect the properties of physics, that can change all of our laws. We sit here with our equations and we think we understand something, but the subtle energy, when it's present, changes how things behave. And it's an example of how consciousness and the mind can interact with the physical world. So it's the first beginning clue that our science is missing something. So I wrote my second book, Life Force, the huge one you referred to, about this force, because right now there's lots of evidence over a couple hundred years in China, in Germany, in America, about this energy. Wilhelm Reich discovered it. Schauberger discovered it in Germany. The Chinese discovered it. A man named von Reichenbach in Germany for 40 years did research with this energy. He found that certain people can see this energy as a dim light in a darkened room. and he was able to figure out how it behaved. So this is sort of our beginning exploration of higher dimensions. It's almost like this is the threshold of the spirit world. It's a threshold of a higher dimension that our present physical view of the universe doesn't really cover. And it kind of introduces us to a whole bunch of wonderful phenomena when consciousness becomes involved with science.
And I guess it's the same principle with people describe auras and seeing a subtle body, actually sort of a secondary body hovering over the first. I mean, that's all part of the same subtle energy concept, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, the aura is the perfect example of an aspect of subtle energy. And, of course, most of us don't see it most of the time. We were raised in a Western school system, reading, writing, arithmetic, a lot of cognitive, analytical, left-brain type of practices we learned, and memorization, spewing back to the teacher what we learned in class. We don't work much on the right side of the brain, the intuitive part. So most of us can't see auras most of the time. But even those of us who are impaired by a lot of, like, too much education can sometimes slip through. I was taking a first-level Reiki course, an energy healing course, one day, first half of the day, and our teacher was having us meditate, having us practice becoming more sensitive to what we were feeling around us and trying to help us to be more aware of energies and things like that. So I was getting kind of very relaxed and kind of clear, more clear than I normally am. And then we had a power failure in the apartment where the class was going on. And she asked me to walk down the hallway to the back corridor where there was a fuse box to reset the fuse. It was total darkness, total blackness. We couldn't see anything. But I'm listening to her voice behind me, and I'm walking down this hallway, and in total darkness, and I turned around to look at her, and what I saw was this hovering, fuzzy, bluish, light bluish blob of light, about 3 feet tall, about a foot and a half wide, which was centered at her body. And so I was seeing her aura without expecting it. And I was in a state where I was able to perceive it. And so, you know, it was amazing for me because I don't consider myself very sensitive, but even I have seen an aura.
Yeah, and what our listeners don't know is that I guess after spending all those years in laboratories and universities, Claude dives headfirst into direct experience. I mean, he mentioned remote viewing. He mentioned taking energy courses. I know that you visited crop circles. You've done research with underwater research. I mean, so I guess it's somewhat, do you do it because you have an inquisitive mind and you're trying to understand, or you're just a thrill seeker?
A little both. Well, it's kind of a challenge. They say if you have a PhD, you're probably unable to experience some of these things. If you grow up practicing with that left brain analytical part, it gets in the way of direct perception. I took my first fire walk with Tony Robbins years ago, and in that process, you do a couple hours of preparation to get your mind into an altered state, a high energy state, and then you walk across a 12-foot long bed of hot coals. And this scared me, even though I did a lot of research and I knew theoretically this is possible. With my mind, I'm going to get curious and start focusing on the hot coals halfway across the bed, and that is not something you're supposed to do. So it worked out pretty well. They did a very good preparation, did us anchor NLP. Exercise to anchor us into a high energy state. I made sure I had Tony Robbins as my advisor on my particular firewalk pit that had the best possible guide. So he said, go, after I got to a high energy state. I walked across the pit. I'm striding along, smoothly as they had instructed us, saying, cool, Moss, cool, Moss, looking up, you know, intent upon not trying to focus on the hot coals. And as I'm walking along this fire pit, I'm thinking, darn, this doesn't feel hot at all. It does feel like cool moss. It feels smooth. This is so easy. About 6 or 8 feet across the pit, I'm thinking, I wonder if those coals are really hot. And so the last two steps, I dug my feet down into the coal bed where I could see embers, red embers come flying up. And it still wasn't bad. You walk off of it and you walk into a little pan of water. My feet felt funny on the bottom, and I got one little blister. So out of 1,500 people who did the firewalk that night, I was one of 10 who got a little blister that was gone within 24 hours. So that's the part I worry about with me.
Well, we know the power of the mind. And you mentioned when we talk about healing, which is a good part of your book, and the distant healing, you can't not talk about consciousness. I mean, at the same time. So when we talk about distant healing, for example, I mean, that falls under the heading of psychokinesis, right, where the power of the mind over matter?
Yes, exactly. It is, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So,
and our brain has, I think we're, you know, this is part of the wonderful work that the Princeton Paralab, Robert John, Brenda Dunn did for 30 years, is one of those great repositories of evidence for the power of the mind. And there are other people who have done research as well, going back to J.B. Ryan, North Carolina, at the Ryan Institute. But, you know, we have now lots and lots of data that show us that the mind can affect physical processes. So in the Princeton case, they had labs set up where more or less average students, volunteers, would try to affect something like a random event generator with a little electronic device that produces random numbers, and they would ask them to try to make the numbers go high, more ones, or make it go low, more zeros. And they found that actually they were able to do it. And it didn't really matter how far away they were. They could be hundreds or thousands of miles away, it still worked. So over 30 years, when you total up all the data that they took on the psychokinesis, the PK experiments, the odds against chance are trillions to one. In other words, the odds of their data happening by random chance are trillions to one, which shows, you know, that we really do have this ability. Even average people have this ability.
And do you think it's the same underlying mechanism, some form of subtle energy that plays a role in things like telepathy or even in spirit communication?
Yeah, I really do. I really do. It's very similar. I mean, a lot of mediums talk about their communication with spirits, and it sounds pretty telepathic. So I think it's all part of the same channel. But if we study one, we learn more about the other ones.
Yeah.
So that's what has me fascinated.
What about the theory that a lot of people believe that there, among the various planes of existence, there's perhaps a realm that's a storehouse of information, you know, like the Akashic Records, and that we can access some of this stored information on occasion?
Yeah, that of course, that name comes from the Hindu philosophy, but if you look into past life regressions, people can be hypnotized and access past lives and reincarnation, et cetera. And some people are very good at this. Not everyone has the same talents, of course, but you know, Dolores Cannon was so careful in selecting her clients. She wanted the ones who went the deepest. And when they went to the somnambulant state, the state when they were so deep they could not remember consciously afterwards where they were, they usually had very good recall of details of past lives, and she could check them out later. One particular client had a past life in Qumran, in the Essene colony in the desert in Israel, where very, very religious, and he was able to describe the layout, the map of the village. This is, of course, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, near there. But he could describe details about the actual commune, and they have been verified in later archaeological work there. So it's possible to access things like that. The question is, where does that information come from?
Right.
How, when General Patton, talks about his memories of being Hannibal in the Carthaginian Wars, where was that energy, where was that stored? Where was the memory stored? And the answer, I think, is the Akashic Record, which what I'm discovering is that throughout the universe, there is a deeper field. You've heard of the field, the zero-point energy that fills the vacuum of space. And part of that is an energy called torsion that the Russians have discovered 50 or 60 years ago. It's being kind of kept quiet here in America, but I think it's one of those clues. It's an underlying energy which is present, and it has a component that travels forward in time and a component that travels backward in time. And to make a long story short, this energy probably records every act, every behavior, everything that happens in this sort of mesh of zero-point energy that we think of as being random out there in space. There's actually structure to it, and we can probably connect to those memories in this sort of webbing. Think of it as a webbing or a spider web that fills space, and it's tied to all these events. So when we go into an altered state, we can tune into various parts of that. It's almost, there's a concept in computers called the neural network, where you take a bunch of diodes or connections, and they can act like a brain or like a computer. Well, the torsion field appears like maybe it could do the same thing. So that's my candidate for where the Akashic Record is.
And that's about as good an explanation as I've heard. We have to go to a break. When we come back with Dr. Swanson, we're going to hear more about subtle energies in the unseen world. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Windbridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more. Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Claude Swanson. Our sponsor is the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at winbridge.org. We are just days away from our Holiday of the Earth raffle for 2015, and if you are going to be a candidate to win one of our five medium readings that are being raffled off, you've got to enter right away. When I share with you that only 88 people have entered this wonderful raffle as of this moment when I'm talking to you. So go to our website, click on the bar right at the very top of the website that says enter the raffle, and go ahead and get your chances and get in there because the odds are in your favor. Now, our annual Afterlife Exploration Retreat in Chester, Connecticut is this July 24th through the 26th. It's filling up early this year. The event page is up on our website. Early bird pricing ends on May 31st, but almost all of our 24 rooms are already reserved. So gather up your best friends forever and have a blast in a quad, a triple, or a double, or if you like your privacy, reserve a single room. All rooms have air conditioning and a full private bathroom. Update on Mediumship 101 webinar. If you have registered but you have not followed the instructions on the page following your registration, then you have not yet been approved for your seat there. So there are still seats there. Go back to that page if you still want to be there and follow the instructions if you're a member to get your free seat. If you're not a member, to pay the nominal fee of $20 to attend. The new Signs of Life magazine has been showing up in mailboxes across the country, and praises for the new design and features have been steadily coming in. If you are out of the United States, you should have received your newsletter via email. And if you did not, perhaps you're not a full member of Forever Family Foundation, and it's time to fix that. Go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and click on the Become a Member and complete the form. Membership is free, so you want to do that. Visit foreverfamilyfoundation.org for all your event links, information, and registration. And please, 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 when you are there, click on the donate button and send in the most generous contribution you can. This radio show, the newsletter, the website, and all the other wonderful things that Forever Family Foundation does depend on the support of our listeners and our members, as the work we do does not get us the grants and support that other not-for-profits enjoy. And finally, remember us when you shop on the internet. Either join iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as your charity of choice. And when you shop, automatically a donation comes to us. And the same with Amazon. However, please, when you go to Amazon, use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website first, and everything in your shopping cart will generate a donation from Amazon to us. Okay? That's enough. Back to you,
Bob. We're back with Dr. Claude Swanson. The website where you could learn all sorts of stuff is synchronizeduniverse.com. But as Claude said, just Google Claude Swanson, and you'll get links to the website. Claude, we were talking before the break. You gave an example of the power of the mind when you took part in a walking over the hot coals. There's some evidence that through the power of our mind, we can even change our cells or perhaps even our DNA. Is that something that you subscribe to?
I do. I think it's amazing how much ability we have. Before I go into that, let me just, can I add my own announcement to Fran's announcement list? I am going to be on the East Coast, which is closer to you folks than I've been for a while. And I'm hoping that there's no... I'm going to be there next month in May, on May 8th and 9th, in the D.C. area at Unity of Fairfax Church in Oakton, Virginia. So I'll put that on my website. But I have friends who might be listening and friends in the area. I would love to see them if they can get there. So that's May 8th and 9th. I just wanted to slip that in if I could.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Yeah. And I know it's still a couple hundred miles away from you guys, but I would, you know, somehow I'll work my way back to civilization eventually.
All right, and I'm going to throw one more out there because Dr. Swanson is going to be doing one of our webinars soon, so right. Our members also want to watch for that.
Right. So what about this this theory about DNA and that it can be changed?
Well, yeah, of course, and Bruce Lipton has the nice book, Power of Belief, I guess, or something like that. But, basically, as I talk about in my second book, what governs our body, the health of our body, is something called biophotons, these little pulses of light, little quantized bits of light that the DNA molecules in our cells are constantly producing. And it's like the little messages that it produces that control the cells in the body. All the big molecules in the cells respond to these little pulses of light, these biophotons. And that's what determines how we grow, how we heal, how we repair. It turns out that the DNA is not really just a dumb machine that always makes the same stuff all the time. When it gets the right commands, it can shift in the types of proteins that it produces. It can uncover certain parts of itself. It's called the expression. Whether it expresses certain proteins or not can shift based upon the environment of biophotons around it. So the mechanism by which the DNA responds to our thought and our intention it's actually kind of built in to the DNA itself. It's not really a mystery. In my book, Life Force, I have a couple of chapters and explain how this works in detail. And this also connects back to what we talked about earlier, the aura, the energy field around the body, because these biophotons, which are light, they're like little laser light pulses, but they also connect to the torsion field. This energy that our science in the West doesn't really fully understand yet, but it's part of the leftover aspect of the light, the part that gets out of the body and surrounds our body with a pattern, a holographic pattern that tells it how to grow, how to heal. So all together, we're getting this picture. For if you're an energy healer, for example, there are people who are very good at this, who can look at a person and they can see that aura, and they can tell that there's too much red in a certain part of the energy field, or some dark spot in some part of the aura Barbara Brennan, who was a former NASA scientist, wrote two wonderful books called Hands of Light and the second book, about how she also could see these aura fields around the body and use them for healing. And so all this is connected, and our science, to me, has to get caught up to speed on, we know there are people who can see these fields, who can change them, who can work with them, so we need to have a science that also can connect the dots and understand how healing is involved with the mind and how the mind is able to bring about healing of the body.
Yeah, I know that it's a complicated subject, but we have to mention it. It was you wrote your first volume about the synchronized universe. So, if everything in our own universe is synchronized, what happens when we appear to interact with other dimensions or other realms of existence? I mean, if those realms are not synchronized with our own, how do we gain access to those realms?
Well, by shifting our frequency.
Okay.
This is where a mental shift. I mean, sometimes, you know, when there are encounters with spirits or encounters with ghosts, maybe a haunted house or maybe in a bedroom where your departed relative shows up at night, some people can see them and some can't. So there's a frequency shift. In the synchronized universe model, I explain how it is that we can see things when things are synchronized. When they're not, they become invisible to us, but they're still there. So that if you are in the spirit world, for example, you are made of a certain kind of matter that Yogananda called lifetrons. In the spirit world, they describe what they see, what their life is like. We know this from countless examples, from mediums, from direct voice contacts, from EVP, from lots of different types of data. We have a lot of information now about what the afterlife and the spirit worlds are like. That's part of what my new book is going to be about. But it's not empty. They're not empty there. They have streets. They have houses. They have flowers. They have plants. They have buildings. There's a whole life that goes on, but it's not made of what we normally call matter. It's a form of energy that's out of phase with our present physical matter, but by changing synchronization, it's possible to access them with that. So that's where the synchronized universe model is very relevant, not just to parallel physical dimensions, which are also something that's real, apparently, but also to the higher spiritual planes.
Well, that's interesting. And that's subject for another show. I know that we're running near the end of our time, but I did want to mention that you, if people visit your website, you encourage these global peace prayers, which is essentially a synchronized meditation. So, a matter of fact, we read at the end of each show something from your website. We've been doing that for years. So, Is that something that you continue to do? And I know we've only got a minute left, but is that something?
Well, I think you are prompting me to bring my peace prayer up to date. So don't read anything today. I've got to go back and make sure that it's current.
All right.
It needs to be up to date. Certainly, we're seeing plenty of things happening in the world that would make us want to send it our love and our peaceful prayers to make sure that we can do the best we can to bring about peace. We know that prayers have power, so I'll bring it up to date for next time just to make sure. But
okay.
That's all. Good wishes to the planet in the meantime.
And we had been talking with Dr. Claude Swanson. The website, again, is synchronizeduniverse.com. Claude, thanks so much for being with us, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from all participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of the recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Scott Calzia, Donald Peterson, Judy Pernick, Donna Mello, David Mello, Kimberly Savager, Rachel Skandarian, Jeanette Davies, Miriam Pierschka, Julie Beischel, Ann Hutchinson, David Haythree, De Springer, Vicki Steffi, Jean Lash, Tracy Lee Nash, Eddie Roll, Tom Donahue, Tim Donahue, Harvey Abramowitz, Joe and Andrea, Richard, Brian, Karen, Henry Stark, Johnny Jackson, Andy O'Brien, Tanya Cash, Stanley Mulan, Glenna Irwin, Lynn Austin, Michael Tim, Patty Potter, Eileen LaFada, Wendy Lippo, Doug Berry, Philip McPhee, and Erica. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.